All right, we're back. Hey everyone, this is Aditya Kotaria. Welcome back to the second episode of Modern SaaS.
Hello, this is Yag here. I'm super excited. Episode number two. So what are we discussing today, Aditya?
One of the things I recently had, I was buying a couple of softwares as we are growing. And when I was evaluating some other vendors and was trying to buy software for our team, different functions, few things on the recruiting side, few things on the engineering side, one of the things I realized that the experience I'm getting as a buyer was not what I was expecting as a modern SaaS world. We think about it, a lot of these topics, how we are building Avoma, what the experience our customers, our prospects should have. And so that's what I thought we should be talking. And there were some interesting things also happened, but that was on my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, this whole buyer experience is something that I definitely also wanted to talk about, and it's pretty interesting. In a way, I can understand, you know, what you go through as a founder, because that in many ways also comes back to us as marketers and salespeople and the kind of instructions that we get from you. So, which is good. And yeah, you know, I have tried using or signing into a few products, and sometimes I have no idea as to what the price is going to be. And for example, you know, for a podcast, I wanted to sign up and promote something. And I was like, let me go and check this tool. Looks like pretty interesting. If it's about $100, $200, I can just give it a spin and try how it works out. And there is no pricing. And I thought, this sounds easy. The moment I go and start talking to that particular founder or that company, and they tell me that, hey, minimum $3,000. I'm like, no, this is not what I signed up for. So happens, you know, you can probably set better expectations and do things like that, so that at least they qualify the right kind of people coming in for the minimum.
100%. And once you have that kind of experience, it leaves some kind of that bad taste in your mouth, and you don't really want to go back to them, give another chance to them. So that's so true. I'll tell you another perspective recently we had. And this has not just happened once. It happened probably two or three times in the last few weeks. That's why this is on top of my mind. One of the things, one of the prospects was giving us feedback that how much they loved Avoma when they were evaluating some of our larger competitors. And interestingly, they had used these competitors in their previous companies. So they knew the product, they knew what the product does, the functionality it offered. All they needed was get the access to those tools. And because these people had changed their jobs and now they wanted to bring that tool in their new company, guess what happened? This particular gentleman reached out to the so-and-so, the top of people in our vendors in our industry. And then while he's booking, you show them, book the demo. He's like, I don't need to see the product. I know it. I want to start using it. But they still had him go through the process of discovery call, then the demo call, book the demo here. And then he's like, it took me 2 weeks to get the demo booked and even see the product. And they still wanted me to go through the entire process, because the AE, the whatever the playbook they had defined, they're forcing that playbook. He said in that process, while he got frustrated with that experience, he searched for other options and found us. And then he reached out to us. He said the sign-up link was right there. I started the trial. During the trial, while I was setting up, your customer success person reached out to me. She helped me with some of my customizations, account settings. And I'm already set up. I'm already within less than 2 weeks, and you offered this 2 week trial, he was blown away on the functionality, on the product capabilities, all of that stuff. But the reason he said the most important thing that you guys are going to disrupt is the experience I just had. This buying experience I had with you guys, so phenomenal. Yeah. And I'm still not having any demos booked with some other vendors, and not just one, but there were other he was looking at, obviously, with other options as well. And he's like, you're the only ones where I'm already implemented in less than 2 weeks. And I'm still scheduling demos with other two guys. How are they going to get to win those business?
Yeah, two things out of what you said really stood out to me. One is when somebody says, hey, here, take my money, and then making them run around is criminal. Okay, so that is something that you are not supposed to do. And the second thing, you know, interesting that you brought up that this person came in and started using the product and all of that. And maybe this is something that we should touch upon as part of this conversation today, is that when you look at our website, right? So there are two parts. One, on one side, we do offer this 14-day free trial where people come and sign up and, you know, no touch, they can just try it out. They can take it for a spin. And then on the other side, we have this sign-up part where if they might have questions and they go to the AE and it, you know, they
schedule a meeting
with them and goes on. Yeah, schedule demo, right? So first of all, let's talk about this. Why do we have two different motions in a world where people are talking either go this way or that way?
That is so interesting. And we had a lot of debate also early on internally, because you rightly said, people talk about this whole sales-led motion where you got to schedule demo with the account executive, and then they're going to show you, they're going to qualify you, all of that stuff is there. So that's one process, go-to-market motion is there. The other go-to-market motion is a free trial, just go and sign up. And then through that, you go through product-led growth. What I felt, these two aspects, what experience that you want to provide to your buyers, is very inward to outward thinking. That what we want to be, do we want to be a sales-led or do we want to be a product-led? Very rarely people are thinking, what does buyer want? So I wanted to have this opinion that shouldn't it be customer-led or buyer-led? What is their experience is going to be?
Yeah.
I think it's not that everyone wants the same experience. And this is also a bad thought process that people have where they're like, oh, enterprise customers, that means they would have to talk to one of our AEs and all of that. And SMB customer, they have to go through the self-service trial because we cannot afford the smaller customers to go and give that AE experience. Yes, I understand unit economics and all of that stuff. But guess what? We literally closed a deal the other day. I would say probably $25,000 in average contract value. That deal came in by our Google ads, one of the Google ads that we had ran. And the guy who came in was head of sales, VP of sales at a decent large stage company. He clicked on the Google ad. He reached out to Obama. He signed up for the product self-service sign-up trial. He started using the product, already got the account set up. He's still scheduled. And this is another use case. The previous few minutes ago, what I told you, that was another customer. This is another customer. Even head of sales, VP of sales like persona, coming and trying everything on their own, getting the feel of the product, getting comfortable, liking the product, and then saying, screw the other guys, I'm already now set up here. Then he invites the rest of the team and everyone is already implemented in Avoma and we win that deal. So that's the experience. So the whole notion, what I felt was that we try to, based on the market segment, we say, oh, this market is going to get self-service experience, the SMB market, and the enterprise market gets book the demo experience. At the end of the day, these are all people. So the choice is based on each individual. We have a lot of customer from SMB market. They do want to talk to our account executives. They have questions. And the whole demo experience is less about we trying to be salesy. It's about we try to do some job on our website to explain you what we do, how we do certain things. But they still have some questions. Maybe they have this unique requirement. Maybe they have some unique challenges that they want to get answers to. That is why they would like to talk to account executives. And when you give that experience even to smaller customers, get what happens. These smaller customers, even though they are less than $5,000 in average contract value, because of that buying experience, they go and end up recommending three other customers, their friends, their brothers, and all of that. Literally, I've had people referring their brothers and sisters to us or wives to Avoma that you got to use them. We love these guys. The experience was amazing. And that's why we felt it's less about what we want to do. It's about what buyers, some buyers want the trial experience. Some buyers want to go and talk to your AEs.
Yeah, I remember this conversation coming into the company, you know, in my early days. And when I asked you this question, you were like, hey, yeah, your questions are fine, but have you thought about what the customer wants? And I was like, wow. And this was the same thing that we went about in every single thing that we did. By the way, you know, because you spoke about this deal coming through ads, a big shout out to Ron, our performance marketing guy, you know, who's behind all of these things. So great shout out to you, man. And see, here's another aspect that I would like to talk about. Yes, there is this trial and there is this sales-led aspect. But somewhere, you know, what I think a lot of companies are missing today, which is something that we need to really think about is, yes, even if you sign up and you are part of, like, you know, you go through that automated product-led onboarding, You know, and like I see the videos, yeah. I have step-by-step instructions of how I use the product, but still there are going to be areas where I might get stuck.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, I would still like to have somebody from the company, either a CSM or an account executive, try and reach out to me and say that, hey, Yag, I see that, you know, you try to create an account, you try to do this, this, this. I see that you're getting stuck here. How can I help you? And this conversation, you know, I don't want it to be like somebody breathing behind my neck and trying to close a deal with me, but trying to help me break that friction. So is that one of the things that you always think about?
100%. And that is one of the things also the way we have done was we said, okay, people now we have trial. And people are signing up on their own. And then obviously they will have some self-service onboarding experience. They're able to get set up with our Voma's self-guided tour within like a few minutes. Sometimes in demo calls, people ask me, how much is an implementation time? And I try to tell them, I don't want to scare you, but it's less than 5 minutes. So they're like, what? And that's really what it is. You can get the value within less than 5 minutes and you can provide that kind of onboarding experience. But having said that, you're right where not everything will be done in that 5 minutes. Again, we have still also a lot of work to do on our end as well. There's still so much to do. But at the end, people come in these kind of use cases, they're very narrow mindset. A lot of the times people are looking for, oh, we need transcription for our Zoom meetings. And that might be the narrow mindset that they come in, they get what they want. But then we miss the opportunity to educate them how else they can use Avoma in different experiences. We do not know who they are, what are their workflows look like, what are their day-to-day life challenges look like. And our customer success person or sometimes even salesperson can help them understand, have you thought about these use cases that are happening? What are the inefficient workflows that are you doing today? You care about transcription. How are you planning to use that transcription? Where do you want to share that information? Oh, you want downloading. Why do you want downloading the recording? You can share this quickly, instantly in Avoma. So when you're trying to understand their workflows and explain them the benefits, you see even higher adoption, you see even better retention, and even people start expanding into other use cases that you had not thought about. So that's why that while we talk about the trial experience, that does not mean that, oh, all the self-service users, let them be on their own. We still want to provide them, hey, we are here to help you out. If you need any help, let us know. And you're not pushing them to close a deal. We have those 14-day trial period. In that, we will touch up with them a couple of times. And we will basically see if they need any help throughout the process. Sometimes people don't even talk to us. There are customers who just directly go ahead and put their credit card. They're happy. And we're okay. We're not going to push you no matter what to have us talk to us. And some people immediately say, hey, you know what? Thanks for offering the help. I'm going to take your offer. Go and help me set up the account. Look, Yag, because of the whole SaaS fatigue, so many tools, there is a behavior change. New tools, there are new learning. Our products are also not super perfect. We are also learning. Maybe there are certain things that are hidden under some other menu that our customers would not find it immediately. So having that help is always helpful. And people are still not, either you force people to go and read the documentation, watch all the videos, and all of that stuff is crazy, the way currently how some other companies are still doing it.
Right, right. And another factor that I want to talk about, you know, because we are discussing about this whole buyer experience, right? So initially, I was talking to you about this experience of not knowing the price and then getting into that thing. So the thing is, should people, in fact, I remember this tweet from somebody who had posted saying that, hey, the moment there is no pricing on the site and it says talk to a salesperson, it means that they're enterprise pricing. Or does it mean that, or can anybody and everybody put up a pricing and set the right expectations?
I would come probably partially kind of opinionated here, but that's how we have done it. That's how we like to be treated, and we have done it that way. So I understand there are reasons why people don't want to show pricing on the website. There are all these schools of thoughts that first understand the buyer's needs, understand the pain point, and then sell the value. The pricing is the parameter of value. So why would you rather, if you put the pricing, it almost feels like it's a commodity and you're not selling a commodity, you're selling something valuable. All of those things are there. But all these pundits and gurus who are telling this, they assume these buyers are fools. and you're still basically expecting tricking these buyers to some way. Yes, some will get tricked. There is this whole psychological effect that happens. But at least if you don't want to give the entire pricing, at least give us the range. Tell that it starts from this to this.
Yeah.
Hiding completely pricing clearly indicates that this is not a buyer-centric experience. Let buyer already know that what's the budget they have, if they want to talk to you, and then they'll talk to you. So this whole notion of not displaying any pricing, I still don't understand why people do that. And I would highly encourage of having a transparent pricing to, if you can show everything, that's totally fine. And but if not exact pricing, then at least give us the range and let people select that, self-select that. So you're absolutely right. You had that bad experience. And I'm sure a lot of people are getting that kind of bad experience as well.
Yeah. And, you know, putting that back to even the way we can market and use this information in marketing, you know, one of the ways I'm thinking is, let's say if I'm running an ad and if I say that my pricing starts at $300 onwards, now I will at least make sure that the right kind of people who have the budget click on
that
it
is so
rather
right.
than anybody and everybody.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So you can actually qualify people by showing the pricing rather than somebody talking to you and then realizing this is pricing is super expensive. This is not for us. So then in that case, you're actually making that model inefficient if you think about that way, because you did not even told me in your case, you talked to this other founder or there's account executive and then you realize that, oh, pricing is super expensive. So he wasted that time and you would have probably been able to self-select yourself to not talk to them at all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
One of the areas with the whole pricing, I think I can also talk about was this. Recently, we had this experience with locking annually versus monthly payment options. A recent experience I had, and this is something I also recently posted on LinkedIn, was that if you force me to buy only annual plan, sometimes I question the value of your product. That are you trying to truly deliver the value in that 1 year? Because here's what happens. Instead of you forcing me that you have to only buy annual, let me go and buy annual plan from you. I'm not saying that I'm not willing to. We only want monthly option. We understand that all these reasons why people push for annual pricing is because, there is a cost associated with the implementation. And because once you invest that cost, you want to make sure that the client stays for that long. And sometimes people talk about, you get the money upfront, so your cash flow looks really great, blah, 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 blah. All is fine. I'm not against annual pricing. We have annual pricing ourselves. And we have probably over 50% customers on annual pricing. But here's what happens. What we tell customers, we have monthly option as well. You choose. You are the one who are going to choose what pricing billing is comfortable for you. You want to start with monthly? Start with monthly. Let's do crawl, walk, run. You don't want to commit to annual?
Yeah.
You don't have a high risk, totally fine. If you're happy with our monthly sign up, monthly subscription, and you like the product, you get the value, then you want to get additional discount and save more, then you upgrade to annual plan. But here is what happens when we have this conversation with prospects, they like that flexibility. They immediately start believing that, and I tell them that, look, the reason we offer monthly plan is we believe in our value. If you're not going to deliver, you're not going to stay with us. So it pushes us as a provider, as a software provider, to make sure that we are delivering the value no matter what. Just because we close the deal, our job is not done. That is why it keeps us up to the mark to make sure that customers are always happy. And that is another reason I still hate as a part of the whole modern SaaS phenomenon that we're talking here. I don't think that is annual pricing only option is a buyer-centric model. And a lot of still very leading companies still push that only that option for the pricing. They don't offer monthly. And it still boggles my mind why these companies are still existing like that.
Right. You know, by the way, I don't know if you realize this. When I hear you talking, sometimes, you know, it feels like you're a natural copywriter. Crawl, walk, run is going into my books. You know, this is amazing. By the way, you know, I love this fact that you were talking about the way people are forcing this. And to my surprise, one of the CSMs that highly I respect of, you know, that person was talking about locking in an annual package as a way to reduce churn. And I was like, that is not how you're supposed to think that, you know, that's not where you start. Yes, and see, the math sounded right, saying correct. That, hey, 5% monthly churn is going to boil down to 50% annual churn. So why can't we reduce that by doing correct. This? I'm like, yes, but that's not what the customer wants. You know, you don't want to lock in that.
No, I was just saying this is exactly how everyone is doing, right? So think about all these experiences that people are doing are inward to outward thinking. They're not from outward to inward. They're not still, everyone says that we are customer centric. Not everyone is, but even there, I'm saying you need to be also buyer centric. People are still thinking about customer experience when they become customer. They are still missing the point that you really need to think about this experience when they're in the buying stage as well. And a lot of these experiences that we are talking about are buyer preferences. Give more options to buyers. Let them choose. That's when they feel comfortable rather than you forcing them my way or highway. That's not the way how we want to do it. And that gives credibility, yeah. That gives confidence to buyers that, hey, these, I literally had a call today morning with a prospect. Again, you might think, Aditya, this is, you're just making up the stories, but literally today mornings before this call, I had a demo with a prospect. And the way they say, we tried your some other top vendors and we didn't like the experience and we didn't like the pricing. And we like to buy from someone where our values match with someone else. And that was the reason they came to us, because we felt everything what you do is transparent, pricing is there. And that's what we felt we should also give you a try. And they are still trialing, so I wouldn't say that we won that customer yet. But that's exactly the point, that people will align yourself going forward, that who are treating themselves as you would like to be treated yourself. Because at the end of the day, it's people's business. Doesn't matter it's B2B, and small, medium-sized business versus enterprise business, who are dealing you with is, and at the end of the day, it's a person. They have a, you know, psychology, they have emotions, and those are the people that you want to kind of engage with. So that's exactly what you rightly said. It's, I feel like it's still, people are not thinking and they're, oh, how do I increase my churn, reduce my churn, and then I'm going to force people into this. It's very inward to outward thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And another biggest gripe that I have personally experienced, which I want to really, really take your opinion on, is, you know, there are certain products where what I've seen is, hey, I have to go through, say, 4 levels of band qualification before I even get to see the product, right? So, yes, I love the fact that, yes, a trialing is there, great. But, say, even if you're an enterprise product, if you're not even giving me a glimpse of your product, even after I schedule a demo with you, I understand you don't want to show it. I see all the value proposition. I get it. And I come to your site. I say that, okay, I'm giving 30 minutes with your AE. And this is the problem that I want to solve for. And if you're not showing me how you will solve it using the product, that's disappointing. I don't want to spend 2 weeks just talking to the AE and then looking at the product and feeling that, okay, this is not what I expected. I wasted 2 weeks of my time.
This is so good. This is so good. Happens so many times with so many people. I just literally saw a post on LinkedIn that somebody had posted the research where they said how much time it takes for if a buyer wants to schedule a demo. An average, it is basically 4 or 5 days after the actual demo or initial call gets booked. Most of the companies, yes, there were a few companies who were trying to book on the same day or within the next couple of days. But the majority of the responses were that it takes 3 to 4 days to book the first call. And that typically what happens, disappointing, is that's a discovery call where an SDR, inside salesperson, is trying to do the discovery. And it's all about extracting the information, interrogation. What do you have? What do you use? What are your business goals? When do you sleep at night? When do you wake up? What do you wear? All these personal questions. It's like, come on, that's not you. I can give you everything later on, but give me something in the process. But no, I was on a call the other day. I booked the call. This person sent me an invite, and then he calls me on the audio. And he's like, no, I'm like, I'm okay to talk and get on a Zoom call. Now I'm always on a Zoom call. So he's like, no, let's just do audio call. I just need to talk to you. He asked me a bunch of questions for 15 minutes. And I said, okay, how are you going to show me? He's like, no, I'm not going to show you anything today. I was like, then why did you send me invite with the demo kind of thing? He said, no, this is just a discovery call. Now I'm going to schedule a call with account executive and then he's going to show you everything. And here's another thing what happened. So we talked to the account executive. This account executive throughout the process, I love their product. Trust me, this is another we are evaluating. a product, and there are a lot of other interesting players in that space. But this is another upcoming player was there, and I really liked what they were doing. Product was brilliant. Trust me, we were sold on the demo that we felt, holy shit, this is amazing. But guess what? The salesperson at the end of the day said, oh, here is the annual pricing that you have to pay. And the pricing also was, as usual, was not available on the website. And I felt, oh my God, that's really a lot expensive than what we are currently paying. And even the top vendor I would be probably paying. And then he said, you have 7 days to try out this. I'm like, 7 days? I have my business to run. Do I give up everything and only focus on this for 7 days? What? Why not 14 days? No, in 7 days. You tried within 7 days? Otherwise, you cannot. I'm like, you are literally forcing us to commit for annual pricing and make the evaluation in 7 days. And we do have our own businesses. Do you understand that, right? I understand this whole 7 day mindset is also coming from inward to outward thinking, where people are forcing to reduce the short sales cycle. I get it. All these metrics and the things that people are trying to track. But look at the buyer experience. Who is going to evaluate something in 7 days when you're trying to buy something for the rest of the team? Everyone is busy. It takes time to learn something new and make sure it fits into your workflow. And so we didn't buy. Just because of the experience, we said, screw you guys. We will buy something else, but this is ridiculous experience where you're forcing us to buy something. I'll give you another funny example with this whole trial now. I remember another vendor. They said, this is our annual pricing. And I said, fine. And obviously, this was a data play, so we wanted to check the quality. And I said, okay, can we even test the quality of the data? He's like, yeah. Now, if you want 7 day trial, we can give you 7 day trial. The annual price goes up. I'm like, then how does it trial? You're basically increasing the price to give me a trial. You're just calling it as a trial, but you're saying then you how this price will go up for that package. So trust me, Yag, these experiences, sometimes you believe that, oh my God, does this still exist? But it does. It is still happening today. There are vendors, and these are all popular vendors, trust me. And they're still doing these stupid mistakes and this kind of experience to providing to buyers. And I might be the smallest customer. I tell them, guys, I get it. I'm not your large customer. And maybe these experiences that you optimize for large customers. But imagine I would have bought this within one call. Already had a high intent. The cost for you to buy this that was literally one call. I'm committing you tens of thousands of dollars in one call. And who screwed up? You. You screwed this up because of this experience, some stupid practices that you're following. And I'm not going to buy now. I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to spend $10,000 to someone else. It's still happening. It's crazy to think about it, but that is why we have this podcast, is exactly talk about these experiences and how we should build a modern SaaS experience.
Wish somebody from that company was recording the conversation and giving this feedback.
I hope.
But as you were saying this, I was thinking one more thing. You know, when I look at some of our customer support mm-hmm. requests that come in, and we often have the situation where even after 14 days of trial, sometimes people did not have time and they would say, hey, can you extend this for one more week? And we still do it. And it's like at the end of the day, the point is, unless somebody sees value in the product, yeah, I get it, there are going to be pricing negotiations and all of that. But if they are not seeing value, they are not going to stick with us in the long term. And that is fundamental. And while we are talking about this experience, you know, I know this entire conversation today has become some sort of a taking out frustration kind of a conversation. But one last thing that I have in my head, I really want to get it out, is this whole thing about having a form on the website that has several fields before you get it. And dude, why can't we just have a simple calendar and say that, hey, I come onto the website, I say, okay, I understand I want to schedule a demo. I don't want to go through all of these things. Yes, you can use products like Clearbit and all of that to enrich my data. That's up to you. I give my name, I give my email, rest you kind of enrich yourself. Give me the calendar of the rep whom I'm going to talk to. Let me click book it. And immediately I get it on my calendar. I am done. I don't have to think about it. What's the point of having this 10 back and forth conversation, or even somebody qualifying and then calling me and saying that, hey, all right, looks like you're a good fit. When can we schedule this call?
100%. And as you rightly said, this is exactly the stat that I saw today morning on LinkedIn post. that research exactly was talking about this, right? If people are trying to book the demo, it was only about booking the demo, not seeing the demo. That stat was that how long when you request a demo, it take people for you to actually schedule the demo. And the average was somewhere around, I think, 4 or 5 days, because then you try to fill the form, then your SDR is going to get that email. Then after many hours, they're going to call you back, or maybe they're going to email you with the link to go and send and schedule. All of that is basically delaying this whole thing of initial interest. When the iron was hot, when the momentum was really strong, you did not actually make the most of it. There was also a study a while ago that somebody had posted that it's also not good if somebody has requested something or signed up for the trial or requested the demo to call within, I think, like 5 or 10 minutes. They said that give them some time. Like if you follow up with them within 30 minutes or something, the interest of them talking to you and having some real conversations is a lot higher. So you should not reach out to, as an SDR, follow up with the lead that who is reaching out to you. Not less than either within like first 15 minutes. It's too spooky that they're in the product, they're trying it out, and suddenly now you're harassing them. Oh, talk to me, talk to me. But let them experience something. Then you call them after 15 minutes or 30 minutes. That's probably the best window. Don't call also after 4 or 5 minutes. By the time they're already moved on. And this is also happening with the scheduling demo related experiences as well. And one of the things that we did at Avoma's experience, where we actually show the calendar right there. The qualification, all of that is handled internally. We figure out what is the team size, how big is the account, who should get it, all of that. But for buyer, we want to provide a simpler experience. As a company, we'll handle the complexity of the routing and all of that stuff, the who should this lead get routed to. That is our problem. Why are we giving that problem to customers?
Yeah.
And that is exactly what most of the companies are doing. They're not solving their internal problems, that they're giving that experience to customers to go and do this, go through these multiple steps. So you're right. I mean, that is another area where I always worried, like, why people are not letting me immediately book the time and all I have to do, fill the form. But then the CTA also is very different. They say they're scheduled demo and all I have to do. Or sometimes people are even so tricky, they'll say, see the demo. Okay, see the demo. So if I want to see the demo, that means I'm going to watch some video right there. But then no, now you have to, again, the CTA is watch the demo, but you have to fill the form. So these are all very tricky people that they're doing a lot of different things.
So, right, Aditya, I think we covered quite a bit in the last 30, 35 minutes or so. So that is amazing. And in a way, if we have to sum up, I would say we touched upon 5 points. We spoke about the trial factor versus scheduling a demo, wherein the sense was like, it need not be just either or, it can be both. And then it is important for us, as a second point, to come in and offer that assisted experience in the process and not completely assume that people will educate themselves, because as product owners, we know the best about our product and it's our job to come in and educate them. And then the third point about the pricing transparency, and more than transparency, it's also about making sure that we offer that flexibility for people to come in and choose how they want to pay. And the most criminal thing that I remember out of this conversation is that when somebody says, I know your product, just let me pay and buy, don't make them go through all the process once again.
Yeah.
You know, value your customer's time. Yeah. And finally, the last point that I really loved about today's conversation is that, you know, make sure that you simplify the entire discovery process, in the sense like somebody comes in and if you are taking 4 or 5 calls before you show the product, then, you know, you have to understand where they are and what they want. And if you see the opportunity and if you see that this is what they are looking for, try to solve it. And make it quick then and there. So these are my takeaways. Am I missing anything?
No, it is 100% accurate. I think the only thing I would say, all of this encompasses with only one kind of feedback, is that have a buyer's experience mindset. Go yourself and buy your own product, and then go through that process, how your buyers are actually evaluating and buying your product. Then you will see the difference, what your customers are going through, what pain they are going through, when you try to buy yourself that entire experience. So at the end of the day, I go back to the same thing. I've talked about it multiple times. don't think what you want. It's inward to outward thinking. Flip that approach and start thinking from outside to inward, what your buyer wants, and then figure out how to handle the nuances internally.
Right, right. Amazing. So we are towards the end of today's episode. Any parting words, Aditya?
As I already said that we are here to talk about it. As you rightly said, it might come across frustration-related rants. We shared all of this, but that's not the goal. We want to highlight these experiences that are happening today. And through that, we will learn something to provide the best modern SaaS experience to our buyers. And hope there are some actionable tips. People will go back, look at their own journeys, how they are treating their buyers, and will try to improve. Lastly, all I would say, this was great chatting and brainstorming some of these topics today. And do listen to these things. Do comment. Let us know what you like, what you disagree. There are definitely some perspectives, some practices our people are still doing. Maybe there is a reason why they're still doing it. We are not aware of that. So do let us know all those things in your comments. Do like the podcast when you listen to it on Apple or some other podcast apps. And that way we will continue to bring more topics and we'll discuss and have real conversations here.
Yeah, absolutely. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll continue to stay in touch with you. And that's that from us today. And until we connect with you the next time, this is bye from me, Yag.
This is bye from Aditya. Bye-bye.